And in our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 32. Isaiah and chapter 32. Isaiah 32, we'll read it, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. This is the verse I want, verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert or a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, or in a land of exhaustion. Come to the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 11. We'll read the words of the Lord Jesus, verse 28. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Lord will bless to us the further reading from His Word tonight with what we've been privileged already to hear in the Gospel. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, as a cover from the tempest. I want you to think with me there of a refuge from the storm. A refuge from the storm. And to recognize that in His shelter, there is safety. In His shelter, there is safety. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of waters in a dry place. So here we have rivers in a dry place. And we want to remind our hearts that in His streams there is sufficiency. Sufficiency to meet the need of all. And we have read that a man shall be as a shadow of a great rock in a land of exhaustion. So here we have the thought of a rock of rest, and in His shadow there is satisfaction. And we want to preach to you from this verse the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is a scary thing to be in a storm, to experience a storm, the awesome power of nature that is unleashed in a storm. It gives you feelings of helplessness. And you feel so small and insignificant if you're caught unexpectedly in a large storm. There was a man by the name of Tim Samaras, 55. For 30 years, he was a storm chaser. And he devoted his life basically to focusing on tornadoes. He said so in an interview. In fact, on one occasion in South Dakota, he came within 100 yards of an F4 tornado. He said it was the most terrifying experience that it's possible for a human being to have. He says, "I never want to experience it again." But he kept chasing storms. Some of his work was presented in the National Geographic program, The Storm Chasers. It was in May of 2013. A tremendous range of thunderstorms and cells was tearing through Oklahoma. Tim Samaras and his son, 24 years old, and another friend were chasing tornadoes in that system. Instead of seeking shelter, like others did, they followed the tornado. It was an F3 tornado. They were caught in its vortex, and unfortunately, all three men were killed. They lost their lives. They had no shelter in the storm. You know, you might think of that and wonder why God has permitted such destructive forces in nature, here on planet Earth. And really, for the answer to that, you would have to go back in your Bible to Genesis. And you would come to chapter 6. And you would read about a man called Noah. And you would read about a flood that came upon the world of the ungodly in the days of Noah. Because the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. And every thought of the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man. And he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth. And with that flood that came, the whole climate of planet earth was changed. And from then on, the destructive forces of storms have been found on earth. So we learn that it was because of sin that even natural storms are in this earth. And storms in people's lives, unexpected catastrophes that hit people's lives so unexpectedly at times, can all be traced back to the same source. It's because that sin has come into the world. And death by sin. So the sentence of death is passed upon all men for that all have sinned. The holiness of God demanded in the days of Noah that sin would be judged, and he judged it with that storm, that mother of all storms in the days of Noah. God intervened. And God will intervene again on planet Earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught this. We read about it in Luke chapter 17. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And then he adds this, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Yes, friends, Jesus is coming again. He came the first time as a little baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, as we were hearing in the conference, laid in a manger, in apparent helplessness. But when he comes again, he's coming as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords. In bright, shining majesty, he will appear in flaming fire. Listen, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That tells me this, that there will be people that sat once in gospel meetings will be caught in that terrible storm of judgment when he comes. They obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, sinners that are caught in that storm will feel so helpless. They will feel so insignificant. They will feel so small that instead of facing him that sits upon the throne, they'll cry out to the rocks, to the mountains, to fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. There is consequences for sin. And this earth will yet face that. There will be payback time for planet Earth and for every soul that has heard the gospel and has obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you notice our verse tells us that there is a place of safety. There is refuge from the storm. There is a place where there is shelter. There's a place where we can find safety for our souls. Listen to it. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and as a cover from the tempest. There is one who is able to meet the need of the soul that is caught in the storm. We have a little picture of that in John 6, don't we? You remember the disciples, they got into the boat. The Lord Jesus wasn't with them. And they started across the Sea of Galilee. And it was in the evening, and as they rowed, there arose a storm. And it became dark. And the Lord wasn't with them. And they weren't making any headway at all in that storm. But you remember how that the Lord Jesus came walking upon the water, and he drew near, and those disciples were terrified at the first. But then we read that they received him into the ship, and immediately their need was met when they received him. They willingly brought him into their experience, and immediately they were saved. The Lord Jesus was the man that came through that storm. But I want to tell you something. There was another storm that he came through one day on your account and on mine. We're talking about Calvary again. We're talking about the cross. We're talking about one who bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. And he came through the storm of the judgment of God for us, to meet us in our need. And we were thinking already from the Psalms how he cried, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." And it was because our sins were being met by the judgment of God. And the Lord Jesus bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And he paid in full that what sin deserved, bearing that judgment, that storm of judgment, and then entering into death itself. He pays in full the price that sin deserves. Tonight we can tell you, there's a man who is a hiding place from the wind. The only hiding place that God himself has provided. It's found in the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And for all who trust him, listen, for all who receive him into their little ship as they face the storm of God's wrath against sin, immediately they're swept to safety and they're brought into the security of what the Bible calls God's salvation. But tell me, has there ever been a time in your life when you entered into the good of that for yourself? Come on now. Was there ever a moment in your experience when you were born again? We've been hearing about it in the case of Nicodemus. That dear man who drunk in the truth, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Was there ever a moment in your life, a place when and a manner how you were born into God's family and you found a place of safety and security in Christ? You say you always believed it. I want to tell you something. You didn't. There is not a person on earth that always believed it. Infants do not have the capacity to understand moral responsibility and accountability to God. There comes a moment in a person's life when they understand that my sins deserve eternal death. But Jesus died for me, and they enter into the good of what Christ did for them on the cross. And it's a good enough experience to remember. I want to tell you that. There's nobody drifts into it unconsciously. It's a deliberate, conscious trusting of my soul to one who does all the saving, the man who is the hiding place from the wind, the storm of judgment that my sins deserve. And the Savior is that one. I can tell you how I was saved too, if that's all right, John. I was 13. I was younger than him. But I was probably a bigger sinner than he was. But you know what I found out that night that God saved me? I found out that if God gives me what I deserve, I'm going to be in that place, the dark spot at the bottom of that chart, in that place called hell. And God would be absolutely right in sending me there. Then I got to think about the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. And I was raised in the gospel. I knew the gospel. I never questioned it. I knew the facts. I thought of one who died on the cross. And it came to me like this. Well, he died there for sinners. But that's exactly what I am. I am the sinner for whom he died. And then that means that I don't have to pay for my sins. God is satisfied with that. I'm satisfied with it too. That means I'm saved. And by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus at that moment became my Savior. How were you saved? Tell me how it happened. Was it a real experience? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not only have we read about a refuge from a storm and one in whose shelter there is safety, but notice as well, this man is as rivers of water in a dry place. So the metaphor changes in the verse. Still talking about the same person. Still talking about the same Savior. But the metaphor changes, and the picture is this, as rivers of water in a dry ground or in a parched ground. I saw a very interesting video clip on YouTube. It was just last year. Maybe you saw this too. It featured what was called the River Zin in the Negev Desert in southern Israel. In fact, the word Negev means the south. And you actually find it in the Bible in Psalm 126 in verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. That's the word, the south, is the Negev, still called that today. Well, anyway, on the video, it showed this dry riverbed. Rocks, stones, and obviously a kind of a bank on each side. And all of a sudden, you could see first of all the debris being carried down, and then there was water like a miniature tsunami. Here it comes, and the water starts to fill the riverbed. And all the people, the villagers, they were all out on the banks of that river, quote unquote, and they were all celebrating and singing and full of joy. And one lady said, "This is awesome. This is such a beautiful sight." She says, "You can feel the new life that flows with this." You can feel the new life that flows with this. Here's a picture. In the desert. And rains many, many miles away in the hills. They accumulate. And here comes the stream flowing down into that desert that hasn't seen water for years. And all of a sudden, after that, there will be the flowers, there'll be the plants that'll spring up and turn green and blossom and so on. And a man shall be as rivers of water in a dry place. That's the picture. You know, again, when we come to the Gospels, we see a little example of this in relation to the Lord Jesus. This time we'll come to John chapter 7. And you remember there we read about the Feast of the Jews. And the Lord Jesus went up to Jerusalem at the Feast of the Jews. That lasted for 7 days. And the Feast of the Jews was actually the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a time when there should have been rejoicing before the Lord, and Israel was to come together and celebrate and rejoice before the Lord and enjoy the Lord, you see. But the Feast of Tabernacles had degenerated to this point where it had just become the Feast of the Jews. So it was dry. It was barren, parched religion. It was the last day, called the great day of the feast. And we read that Jesus stood and he cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You get it? A man shall be as rivers of water in a dry place, in a parched land. That man is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, he's the only source of purest joy. He's the only one that satisfies the longing heart. He's the only one that can fill the hungry soul with good things. He's the only one that can meet the need of this soul in their sin. Why? Because he took our place on dark Calvary. And again, he bare our sins in his own body upon that tree. And literally on that cross, he was parched. Pick up on Psalm 22. He says, "My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd." You know what a potsherd is? It's a little shard of pottery. A little broken piece of pottery that has been discarded there in the kiln. And one batch of pottery has gone in and the kiln is fired. The temperature rises and everything glows red hot. And then when the firing is completed, it cools down and the pottery is taken out. And again, there's another batch that goes in and the fires again caused everything to glow red hot. And still that little shard of pottery is laying there on the floor of the kiln. Until every drop of moisture is dried up from it. The Lord Jesus said, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd." As wave after wave of God's judgment went over him. My sins, in all their terror there, God's wrath and Satan's power. I wonder, is there a soul here tonight and you are parched, dry in your soul? Maybe you even take the place of being a Christian. But the things that true believers really genuinely enjoy, you just don't seem to have any joy in it. Maybe it's because you've never really come to know the one who is the rivers of water in a dry place. Still, the message in the gospel is as good and as fresh as it was there in John chapter 7 when the Lord Jesus stood and he cried, "If any man thirst." The invitation goes out still tonight to the whosoever. If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He alone can give that drink of living water that springs up into life eternal. In other words, he's the only one who can give you everlasting life. And you absolutely need everlasting life to live forever in God's heaven. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You come to him tonight and you receive him. You'll receive everlasting life. It's God's gift to you the moment you receive him. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have one who is as rivers in a dry place, and in his streams there is sufficiency to meet the need of all, to any whosoever who needs a Savior. He's available tonight. But our verse goes on to say, "A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, as a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place." And notice, as the shadow of a great rock in a land of exhaustion. Still talking about the same one, still talking about the same man, but here the metaphor changes again from rivers to a rock. And from streams we come to a shadow. And we find that in this rock, in the shadow of this rock, there is satisfaction for the weary. The picture seems to be a man that's maybe going through the desert again. The sun is beating down. He's feeling tired. He's feeling weary. He's feeling exhausted. And he comes upon this large rock right there in the desert. And below the rock, maybe a bed of sand and a lovely place of shade, of shadow. And very gratefully, he just lays down in the shadow to rest. That's exactly what he needs at that moment. Rest. Maybe I'm talking to one here tonight and you have been going through the desert of life. You have actually been wanting to be saved and you have been struggling and trying. And really trying to work. You figured this out. It's got to do with believing. And you've been really working on that, you know. To get that tied down, this believing business. And you've reached the point, you've just reached the point almost of exhaustion. You just feel exhausted. Could I point you to a man who is as the shadow of a great rock in a land of exhaustion? How do you benefit from him? You just rest. He invites you to come and rest. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." His guarantee to you. You come to him. You receive him. You'll receive everlasting life. You'll receive rest. You'll receive salvation. You'll receive the whole package when you receive him. We commend him to you. Let's look to the Lord for his blessing.